podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh yeah, you know what time it is. You heard the intro music with that ooh. I'm your boy JM Fiend. I'm here with my brother
Brandon Phoenix, aka I Also Hate Pitt, is in the building.
And we talking about that TikTok, you don't stop.
Wait.
No.
This is pop culture.
Hit you with the pop. And once again, we're talking about a TikTok, you don't stop. We're not talking about that song in particular. We're not talking about what's up in Bobby Huggins' chest, that pacemaker, that TikTok. No. We're talking about the new social media thing, the movement. I say new. It's not really new, but it is really starting to blow up right now. It's all over everything. So if you don't know, I don't know. You're in the middle of nowhere because everybody's TikToking. My question to you, Brandon, is do you TikTok?
I just started, son. I just started. I'm brand new to it. I'm learning my way.
Man, I'm telling you, you can call me old head dude because like most things, I'm telling you, I resist that change. When new things come along, I see it, and I'm like, you know, it's all right, but, you know, I don't really get into it. I'm telling you, I don't change until I'm forced to change, and TikTok has forced me to. I'm just now getting into it because it's everywhere. There's things that are so fun, just things that are going on that you got to be on TikTok to see. It's just fun. It really is.
Yeah, no, my favorite. So a lot of people do TikTok for the dancing. I like the funny stuff. I'm there for the funny stuff, the jokes, the people who really can make you laugh. That's why I'm there for TikTok. It's my favorite part of TikTok. So far, I've only used it for show promotion, like I use almost every other social media platform, promoting the RVK, Raspy Voice Kids, any chance I get. But that's about it. TikTok, though, is not new. It's been out in the United States for over 2 years now, and it's been in China for about 4 years, and it's really blowing up. It's going crazy. Old people do it. Young people do it. Moms do it. Dads do it. Kids do it. Everybody's TikToking. So you got to be in if you want to know what's going on. Or you can wait till it hits Instagram, because that's the other thing that happens is people are posting their TikToks on Instagram on their stories or even some of them on their posts.
That's true. I'll be honest. I was about to get it a few months ago. And then I heard like this national security thing and there were concerns and Target said none of their employees could have it. They said that was erroneous email to everybody. And I was like, there's something to it. I'm not getting caught. You know, you're not getting all my identification, as if, you know, the world doesn't have it anyway. Which that pretty much, if you look into it, that stems from, you know, data security and data privacy. Now it seems like everybody's on it. It seems like everybody's there and it seems like it's working. So if you don't know TikTok is a social networking app for sharing short user produced clips. Somebody described it pretty much like a karaoke for the new digital age.
Yes, perfect for it. Karaoke for the new digital age. That's perfect.
The one thing I think is like, why is this different than all these other social media apps? So there's so many of them, and I'm like, why would you need something else? Forbes says, Forbes, a magazine, you know, Forbes.com. That comes out with, you know, the richest people in the world. This is what they said from their site. They said it's easier to upload and edit. It appeals to the short attention spans of most people. And it's pushed by the love of music. One thing they say, too, is he said we get caught up with, you know, maximizing our growth by our fan bases and through our followers. And it's really refreshing to have a platform with an algorithm that rewards content above all else, which means like you can get on Twitter and drop something hot that's, you know, clever and smart and nobody sees it and there's no retweets. You could drop a dope picture on Instagram, the most fire picture ever, and if people don't see it, they're just not gonna see it. But on TikTok, when you drop something that's fire, this thing is all pushed by your own creativity, and it has way more of an opportunity to reach a lot more people if it is indeed fire, and people like that in their platform.
And you were talking about it being pushed by the love of music, and that's true. A lot of old songs are making comebacks, people getting paydays because people are using their music to make songs and videos. Like I think about Monica's Every Time the Beat Drops.
By the way, that's going to be in this episode. Just to let y'all know, I already had that one queued up. Beefy didn't even know, but go ahead.
And, but I like it for the comedy clips. I saw somebody doing the Clayton Bixby duet of Dave Chappelle. I saw somebody doing Bill Burr, who Bill Burr is my second favorite comedian, by the way. Shout out to Bill Burr, hilarious human being.
Dude is so funny.
So funny. And that's what gets me. I love those. I love also the surprises people do. It's just great. I love how it brings people together, too. And that's one of the things that it does. It brings people together, which is what social media is built for. It's built to bring people together, not tear people down. And TikTok's not really a place, really, for the most part. I mean, anytime you look in comments, you're going to get comments sideways, people getting things twisted, people want to get upset, but just enjoying it without the rest of it. I like TikTok for that reason. It's a quick time killer too.
Yep. Short clips, quick attention spans. Now, Brandon, if you haven't looked this up, people, I'm going to give you a guess, Brandon. I really highly doubt you're going to get this one right. How many active users do you think TikTok has?
No clue.
800 million.
I was going to guess a billion, but then I thought that maybe it was too soon to be a billion, but that's crazy. 800 million?
Yep.
I wonder how many of those are in China.
China. No clue. We're going to look at some of the social media platforms. See, they're at 800 million. Relatively new. I guess it's 4 years old, but you know, it's really now within the last year or so really catching fire. So if you tweet, if you're on Twitter, it runs at 353 million active users on Twitter. Snapchat. Repping 433 dirty dogs. Facebook Messenger. Rocking out at 1.3 billion active users. Yeah, that's right. B with a B as in billion. If you know what? I haven't really got into WhatsApp, and I don't know what WhatsApp actually is. But it comes in at 2 billion users. YouTube. You go down the rabbit hole on YouTube, 2 billion active users. Instagram. Oh, I see I did this out of order, but Instagram has 1 billion users. And of course, reigning number one, Facebook. Brandon, you want to guess how many Bs Facebook has?
I'll say 4.1 billion.
That's really close. Well, not really close, but anyway, 2.7 billion active users. So in all respects, social media is crushing the game. Just like Benjamin Franklin, killing it. But our question to you is, do you TikTok?
Rock me voice! Rock, 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 then bend my knees every time the beat drop.
It's the Raspy Voice Kids on segment two. Brandon Phoenix in the building, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pit, joined by...
Jay and Phoenix in the booth.
We are here to talk West Virginia basketball on this segment. We're going to talk about the Gonzaga Bulldogs beating West Virginia 87-82. Jeremy, what were your thoughts on that game?
Okay, I thought you were going to mix them all in there, but we'll take them one at a time. We'll look at Gonzaga one at a time.
Note for the show, Jeremy hates calling them by their real name.
Okay, yes. Gonzaga, that's how I call them, okay? That's my West Virginia accent.
That's not a West Virginia accent. That is your Crystal Phoenix, Tony Phoenix. I'm going to call it what I feel like calling it.
So, anyway, the number one team in the country to hit them with the best shot. I don't think they gave us their best shot, and I don't think we gave them our best shot. I think we played with a lot of energy and a passion, seeing as they were the number one team. I liked how hard we played. But when you get in foul trouble like we did, which was one of the most important things, the other thing is the same thing we say every year. When you don't make shots, this is what happens. And the second half, I think that we got tired a little bit, a little lackadaisical. We got beat in transition. We couldn't switch on the pick, which is coaching. And it is also our players getting better at switching that pick. But there was a lot of times where they got easy buckets off a transition in the second half where they were more concentrated on that. And we got a little lackadaisical. We were in foul trouble, got a little wore down because of the foul trouble. So all in all, I think it was a good game. It was a growth. You know, look, I'm not into moral victories, But I am into putting the best products we have on the court in March when it matters. And I think that this was a step towards it, to measure ourselves, see where we stand. I think we came out in a very, very good place, but it's very disheartening to lose a game where you feel like you could have won and you led most of the game.
Yeah, the thing that gets me, Jeremy, is when you said they beat us in transition, we really had no transition game at all.
No, what I meant is they beat us. Their offense beat our defense back in transition. Not that they had more transition points than we did, because we didn't have none. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I like the way our guys fought. I wish we could make shots. Sean McNeil's going to have to start making more, even though his plus minus is ridiculous for what you would expect. He's doing a lot better on the court than what I would have guessed. I still think Taz Sherman should be starting, because I think Taz Sherman is our best offense, and I think you start the game with offense.
I like that. I like that. And that's the reason why I wanted to mix the Georgetown in, because.
Well, yeah, we can get to the Georgetown game, because Georgetown was a good bounce back.
That's right. We bounced back, went to D.C. and handled business. First half was a little rough. Georgetown was hitting threes left and right. Once again, we weren't making any buckets. Second half comes and we locked down and we just show our pedigree. I think that's what happened. You know, good teams show who they are. And we did that in the second half. We flexed on them a little bit.
We flexed on them. We showed heart. We showed grit. We showed tenacity. We showed a Huggy Bear team. That's exactly how West Virginia plays when they win. We played winning basketball. We got some transition buckets. But you know what I think really made a big difference, Jeremy?
What?
Emmett Matthews' ability and his tenacity going towards the bucket, his willingness to go to the bucket.
I like that.
When you go to the bucket slash, it changes the way the defense has to play, opens up the game for our shooters, and also makes it harder to double-team guys like Oscar and Derek Culver. Emmett Matthews is a big X factor for us.
I love you talking about the good. Let's stay on the good, man. Can we talk about our boy Derek Culver? I almost said Derek Carr. Derek Culver.
What do you want to say about him?
No, he's playing the way you want him to. Other than the games where he gets in a little bit of foul trouble, which is not every game, he's playing like an absolute monster. He's averaging, I think, what, like 16 points? Something close to that. He's averaging double-digit rebounds. 3 out of 5 games, Brandon, he's had at least 14 rebounds. His free throws are up 16% from last year. Now, granted, we've only played 5 games, but still. Up 16%. His field goal average up 4%. There's only one game that he didn't have at least 14 points in this entire season, which was the first game that we played. Like, Derek Culver is coming out and showing you the growth and the work that he put in the gym during the summer.
I like how his offense seems to be smoother than it was, which is interesting because Oscar's offense seems to have regressed. I saw a tweet that said, "Will somebody please tell the Monstars to give Oscar his talent back?"
That is so great.
I thought it was hilarious. So
the thing that's weird about Oscar is because if you look just at his stats, Brady, he's averaging 9 points and 8 rebounds. Now, that's not off the charts, but that's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's almost a double-double.
But then you look at how much he leaves on the court. That's where it gets me. Some of the putbacks, this dude could be averaging 16, 18 points easily. And he just, for some reason right now, it's not clicking. It looks like he's thinking too much, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like he's working hard. It's just things just aren't bouncing the right way. And it's almost like he's overthinking.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. It's like he's thinking too much instead of just playing. I wish he would just play. The problem is when he just plays, he gets in foul trouble. He can't stay on the court.
And
they dumb fouls. Now, I think they call ticky-tacks on him.
They really do.
But I also think they make dumb ones. And I want to make a point about this. I cannot stand watching college basketball unless it's West Virginia, because I have a rooting, heartfelt interest in it. Because they stop the game constantly. There's a whistle on almost every play.
If you watch West Virginia, you watch other – in big games when there's two top teams going at it, Brandon, if you watch them, they almost swallow their whistles and let them play. The only team they don't do that with is West Virginia.
I watched Kansas versus Creighton last night, Jeremy. Kansas and Creighton played too many whistles. The whistle blows too much. The game stops. There's no flow. It's hard to get into it and stay into it unless you have a certified rooting interest, which I do with West Virginia. I love West Virginia, so I watch those games and I'm involved in those games. The officiating is just bad. They're too involved. But part of it, too, is the lack of skill by the collegiate players, which gets them in bad position, and they call and they create too many fouls on their own. So it's a hard game to watch. Georgetown was better than Gonzaga, I think. I still can't understand how Sean McNeil gets called for a foul with his forehead.
Yeah, no. The charge in the Gonzaga game against Taz was absolutely atrocious. Dude was moving so much. It was a big play during the game. He makes he made the bucket. So he'd have got and one, went through the free throw line and buried it because he's shooting a high percentage from the free throw line, and we'd have been down two. But instead, they call charge on some dude who was clearly moving, and then they come back down the floor and hit a three and widen the gap by like eight. Huge call. I'm not blaming the refs, because if we make buckets, we don't have to worry about the refs.
Exactly.
But like you said, the whistle blows too much. And can we talk about Taz? Brandon, oh my goodness. Now, I the whole time have been thinking it's great to give McNeil his shot. It's great to try to get him rhythm. It's great to let him play. But oh my goodness, when you have another shooter on the bench who's playing the way he is, Taz Sherman, you got to let that man play. Now, I thought eye test, I'm like, he's hitting more shots. He's playing better. Got to play Taz. Brandon, and then I started looking at the numbers. Brandon, guess what he's shooting from three-point line?
I don't know.
60%. He's 9-for-15 in five games from the three-point stripe. What about regular field goals? He's 48%. He's 20-for-42. How, if we're struggling to score points, especially Gonzaga, how are we not playing Taz more?
But we're not struggling to score points, Jeremy. We've scored over 70 in each game, I believe. We also are number two in the Big 12 in scoring index as far as offense is concerned. We're not struggling like you would think. The other thing is, do you know where Taz ranks as far as play percentage of time on the floor through five games?
Where?
He's fifth. He's basically a starter. He plays more minutes percentage-wise than Oscar, Gabe, McCabe, Cottrell, and Bridges. He's got 56.5% of the time, the percent of game time on the court.
I hear that. But when I see games start and McNeil go the first 3 minutes or 5 minutes and miss five shots, I think we could have got up. We could have got some breath. And Taz gonna put the ball in the hoop. I'm not hating against McNeil. I know McNeil can bounce back. I'm going to break down McNeil here in just 1 second. But I want to stick with the good. I just want to round this out with the guy that everybody knows is playing great, McBride. McBride is averaging 15 points. Which is up 6 points from last year. Granted, we're only playing five games so far. He's averaging two more assists than he did last year because he's up to 4.5. And on the season, out of five games, Deuce only has 6 turnovers in five games. So when you look at certain games when we're turning the ball over a whole lot, it's not Deuce McBride. So he's playing every bit as well as you think that he's playing. The people that we have to get playing better is the first one we talked about, Shibway. We know he's a special talent. We know he can grind. He just has to get in rhythm. Because like I said, you averaging 9 points and 8 rebounds, and you're not even playing even close to your potential. You're not staying on the court even a fraction of as long as you could be. If we get that straightened out, it'll be big for us. But the other dude, obviously, that we're looking at, not because he's a bad player, but because right now the ball, like I said, there's just a lid on the rim, is Sean McNeil, Brandon. Brandon, I'm going to give you five numbers, and I'm going to let you guess what these are. It shouldn't be hard considering what we've been talking about. I'm going to give you five numbers. The numbers are 16.7, 11.1, 22.2, 33.3, and 37.5. Do you know what those five numbers are?
Field goal percentage in each game.
3-point percentage in each game. That's where we are with McNeil.
Not good.
I can't remember if it's 3-point percentage or just purely shooting period.
Percentage, 37% is not bad.
Oh, yeah, that was for one game, but you didn't hear the 16.7 and 11.1.
No, I did.
Total for the year, he's shooting 27%. This is Sean McNeil. To have you put that in perspective, him shooting 20%, first of all, look at the fact that Taz Sherman is shooting 60% from the three, 48% from the field goals, regular field goals. But if you want to look at the NBA, and granted they're better shooters, the worst shooter in the NBA by percentage last year was Marcus Smart. He shot 37.4%. McNeil, who's we would like to think one of the better shooters in the entire country, is shooting 27%. And yet even with that, he's averaging 10 points a game. He's averaging around 10 points a game.
Because he plays 78.5% of the minutes.
So when I say that, you got a guy who's shooting 27%, but he's averaging 10 points. You got Shiba, who's not playing up to his potential, but has 9 points and 8 rebounds. What happens when these guys get in rhythm? Because they're good players. Like, if they weren't good, I wouldn't be on them. These guys are good players. The ball's going to go in. But right now, to say he's in a rut, is in a slump, that's an understatement. That really is. My boy Sean McNeil, I believe in you, but man, you gotta bust a move.
Gotta do something. And Huggy's gotta do something. I know Huggy doesn't want to take away his confidence, and I get not messing with something that's working because you're 4-1 and had a chance to win the fourth game that you lost. So I get not messing with what's working, having Taz come off the bench. Some people like that, saying it's better he comes off the bench and he's a spark. I personally would have Taz starting over Sean McNeil.
Me too. The last person I'm going to talk about, the last thing I'm going to say actually is, say I just gave it away. But the last number I'm going to throw out there for you, Brandon, I'm going to let you guess what it is. 14.3.
I don't know.
Jordan McCabe's 3-point for field goal percentage for the year.
But he had his best game against Georgetown.
True. 14.3. It's not going to cut it. His minutes are down. His field goal percentage is down to 25%. And I'm not hating on him. I'm just bringing it out. Like, look at these stats. He has almost a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio right now, Brandon.
That's terrible.
That's rough. We know he works hard. We know the whole team works hard. Right now, we're sitting at 4-1. We took the number one team to the limit. These are the things that we have to get better on. And we have a whole year to do it. And I think that we will. We have a lot of talent on this team. But I think it starts with getting either Taz start. Actually, it starts with getting Shibwe in the right groove, which I think he will.
Do you like Shibwe and Culver starting together?
I like it because when they're both on the floor, it's tough to rebound. Now, the thing is, I feel like at the beginning of the game, sometimes they're quick to call fouls. So maybe give up that little part of the beginning of the game. And then during the heart of the game, have them in to kill the rebounds defensively. Because when those Twin Towers are in there, man, they get like almost every rebound that goes up.
The thing I like about this team is the chemistry, the camaraderie, and the effort. Those are things that I feel like have not dropped off at all. And it's hard to beat that. I also love Deuce. Deuce, to me, has a chance to be better than Javon Carter possibly. If
you know what
they say, when Huggy said, when he hears the ball bouncing in the gym in the morning, he already knows who it is. He doesn't have to look. It's Deuce McBride. Deuce is copying what Javon did, being that hard of a worker. If he works as hard as Javon did physically, he's more gifted.
Yeah, he's more talented. No question.
If he works as hard as Javon, that's a big if, because who in the world works as hard as Javon Bulldog Carter? But I love what I see out of Deuce McBride. 17-7-7 with 4 coming at the tail against Georgetown, big-time numbers. And they're against big-time opponents. And Georgetown was not a slouch team at all. They were longer than us, and we were still able to compete and pull out that win. Didn't cover the spread, but we got the win.
By the way, I love me some Gabe. I love me some Gabe-O. Gabe-O just kills it,
man. We're not going to call him that.
We ain't going to do that.
4X funded.
Dude kills it, though. Like, you know, his offensive game is not the most polished ever, but he'll make some moves to surprise you.
He made a three in a jump shot.
That's what I'm saying. And then when the way he takes it to the cup, man, how do you not love the way this dude plays?
And he's arguably the best passer on the team.
No, and you know what? I would love to get him, because Isaiah Cottrell, or Cottrell, but I always thought it was Cottrell. But the dude, he has just good, I want to say mechanics, the fundamentals. He has good fundamentals.
Yes, he's more skilled than Oscar and Derek.
And if you watch how smooth he is, so I would almost want one of our guards to bring up the ball. But then I would love the offense to run through Gabe and Isaiah, because they both, being 6'10", he can see over. And watch how easy he makes the entrance pass to the big men look. He does it with ease and with comfort. So does Gabe. Gabe can throw the ball in there no matter where they're at. I like them almost running the point, being point forwards once you get up the court.
Yeah, I like that idea too.
He could be big for us later on when obviously he gets more playing time and he gets more comfort in what they're doing and, you know, keeps and continues developing.
Same thing with Jalen Bridges. He said it was a big deal to see that first shot go through. He'd been thinking about it. It was on his mind. Now it's off of his mind. He can just play. Less thinking, just playing will be good for Jalen Bridges. I'm glad that he's on the team and he's going to grow and mature as well. I like this team, Jay. I do. I really like it. It looks a lot like the other teams that we've had in the past. I don't see a whole lot of major differences, to be honest. Deuce is the X factor to me. I said Emmett Matthews was earlier, but what I meant was when Emmett brings it, because Deuce is going to bring it each and every night. You know, each and every night McBride's going to bring it. You know what you're getting out of Derek and Oscar pretty much every single night. Emmett Matthews, you don't always know. Sometimes he's timid and not aggressive. When he's aggressive, he's good. He's really good. But we have a Deuce McBride who can take over a game. He can give you a shot when nothing else is falling or when the offense is stagnant. I love it. I love Deuce McBride. And I love what he brings.
Me too. That's what it is. We look forward to the next matchup. Won't be Robin Morris. That was canceled tonight, Wednesday night, but you'll be hearing this Thursday. So we'll get ready for who's next on the schedule, which is the Richmond Spiders. Quickly. Actually, I don't even know when they play, but I know that's our next game. And just to quickly give you a preview for the Richmond Spiders, I know that they beat Kentucky, but Kentucky completely killed them on the glass, 54-31. Kentucky shot 33 free throws, so they consistently went to the free throw line. Now, granted, they only shot 60% from the line, but they went there 33 times. The biggest difference was the fact that Kentucky had 21 turnovers.
And Kentucky's young.
Richmond has five guys who can score. It's not one guy. They have five guys who can score. But they really don't average that many rebounds. They got one big man, 6'10". The other two guys are 6'7". But they don't rebound the ball that well. I expect to beat them up on the glass, get a lot of putbacks, and we're hitting our free throws if we go to the line. On the flip side, as a team, Richmond – and by the way, don't get it twisted. Richmond is ranked right now.
Yeah.
So they're a good team, but they shoot it at 63% from the free throw stripe. Like, I expect this to be a pretty solid win, despite Richmond having beat Kentucky because of the styles. I think we beat them up.
Yeah, I don't think Kentucky's that good a basketball team. So, yeah. I don't think that's a great gauge. I think they're talented, and I think Kentucky's going to be like they always are. Not very good to start the season. Grow because they're young, but they're full of talent. And by the time tournament time comes, you don't want to see them. But right now, it's not a surprise to me that Richmond beat them. Richmond is a quality basketball team. Just ask John Rothstein. So it'll be a tough task, but we'll be favored, and we should win.
Yep. Well, let's get on to the next segment. Speaking of being beat up, let's go.
Rat me.
Big shout to Shrinkables. Shrinkables, supporting the RVK partnership since day one.
You know, I still believe it. You and me. Cause every night I go to sleep.
Time to talk football. That's West Virginia University football. Our Mountaineers, this is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, and Jeremy Phoenix with me, J.N. Feen. How do you feel about what just happened in Ames, Iowa?
What happened in Ames, Iowa? Was there, a game?
No, there was not a game. There was not
football,
a game.
Football, that's right, football. Yeah,
there was
a
massacre.
It was a whipping.
From the start to finish.
The worst loss in the Neil Brown era. I honestly don't have a lot to say about it.
You think it was worse than 52-14 last year at Oklahoma?
Yes. Yes, because of Oklahoma's Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a bigger name. Yeah, no. And because of the style of the quarterback, Oklahoma always has a fast quarterback, a quarterback who can make plays, put pressure on your defense. This was not that. This was a pure whipping in the trenches. Their O-line beat up our defensive line. Their defense line beat up our O-line. Point blank, period. I mean, there's not too much else to say.
There's nothing else to say. There's nothing else to say. They whipped us.
We got whipped on the offensive line. We got whipped on the defensive line. And we got whipped in coaching. Because you don't have a week and a half off and then have nothing on the field like that.
We got big boyed, especially when it came to the tight ends. They had three tight ends, 6'6 or greater, and our guys just weren't big enough. I mean, I remember being in a basketball tournament once, and the other team kept saying to us, y'all ain't big enough. And I feel like that's what Iowa State said the entire time to our secondary. Y'all ain't big enough.
And they also said, don't worry about it because your defensive line can't put pressure on us. Because we didn't.
We didn't.
For whatever reason, we didn't. They came out there, looked like a steel curtain.
We got big boy for sure. And I really don't want to talk about it that much because it's over. It's done.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say. Let me just throw this out there. It was good to see Vandarius Cohen out there on the field. I was pumped just to see him get out there. I also was pumped to see G-Squared in the building, Garrett Green.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We are. Right when it jumped to my mind, I was like, no, we can't go on.
Shout out to Taj Austin coming back from a knee injury and an Achilles injury. So glad to see him back on the field finally. So shout out to him. That said, Garrett Green, you've been begging for Garrett Green to play all year, basically.
Yep.
He got in. He gained 8 yards, I believe, on an design quarterback run. What'd you think, yep, Jeremy?
Here's the thing. I had a friend who accused me saying it doesn't matter who the backup quarterback is. If Garrett Green was playing and they were losing, you'd be like, oh, let's see whoever the next quarterback is. Wrong.
Shout out to Chris Hall. Don't try to leave him anonymous.
I know most people always beg for the backup quarterback. That is not why I'm begging for the backup quarterback right now. I'm begging for the backup quarterback right now because I watched his high school film. I know you're probably shouting from the top of your head. I mean, from the top of the mountain. If you don't respect it, that's high school film. But trust me, being the fifth fastest guy in the entire team, that's what they said. This dude has legs and he has a cannon. Let him play. What would have hurt last game to let him get more snaps? I was saying just let him play a little bit. Last game, we did nothing on offense. Our offensive line couldn't hold up. We didn't play great at receiver. We didn't play great at running back. What would have hurt to try something else? Why didn't we try? We did. Don't say you forgot about him because you put him in for one game, for one play.
One successful play.
That's a little thing that's frustrating about Neil Brown. Neil Brown says, well, you know, looking back, why'd you have to look back on it? You, during the game, you thought about putting him in. You put him in. He gains 8 yards, 9 yards, and then you don't go back to him? You don't go back. Like I said, if we had a chance, if we had an outside chance, nothing was working.
Now, why not clear what you're saying? Are you saying you wanted Garrett Green to replace Jared Daigie, or were you saying you'd like to see him in, like, as a wrinkle, the way that they used him?
I would like him to get more snaps. And last game was a great, great opportunity.
More snaps at quarterback or more snaps as a wrinkle?
Usually I say as a wrinkle. Last game, when it gets that out of hand, I wanted to see him replaced as quarterback.
So my question is, at what point do you replace Daigie then? At what point do you wave the white flag and say, we're not going to win with this guy? Give me something else.
And let me say this real quick, and I say it every week. I think Diggy's a solid quarterback. I think the way he throws slants and throws outs, man, and he makes the reads and he throws it on time, I love that. But above 20 yards, dude has a noodle arm. He can't throw the ball deep. He underthrows our receivers all the time. The other big problem with him is he can't get out of the way of pressure. So when your offensive line lets you down, you don't have that fifth fastest person on the football team speed to make their defense think.
Jeremy referring to Garrett Green being the fifth fastest guy on the team.
Part of this is on him. Part of this is on the offensive line. But either way, the offense is not working the way we need it to work. And when you get almost donut, I mean, we had two field goals. But when you really have no points all game, how in the world do you not try something else, Neil?
So at what point, let's go back to my question. At what point do you say, this isn't working, the game plan that we came up with is done, scrap it, let's go with Garrett Green?
You asking me or you asking the Mountaineer Nation?
I'm asking you.
Oh.
Because you're the one saying let's do it. So at 14 and nothing, should they have done it?
No.
21 and nothing, should they have done it?
At 21 and nothing, you may want – no, because you can still – like, I know. If you're 21 nothing, maybe you find something that – you know, if you keep just plugging away. By the time you start getting to 28 to nothing and it's getting, you know, into the second half and your offense hasn't done anything, then, okay, let's try something else. And because especially when you get over 30 points, then it's definitely time, 100% time, hey, let's see what else we can do. Because this is not the second game of the year. It's not the third game of the year. This is the second to last game of the entire season. Yes, you get into the fourth quarter and you're getting blown out the way you were getting blown out. It's time. You gotta make a change for once in your life.
Michael Jackson reference.
Just saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Gary Green should have gotten to play. It doesn't hurt anything. There's no eligibility lost. We already know what Austin Kendall has. We've seen what Jared Daigie has. And we saw what he had that game, and it was nothing. And the receivers were not great. They dropped some passes, important passes in critical situations. But Garrett Green being able to run makes the difference. It makes the defense think. I go back to the game we played
also,
against
– go ahead.
When we played Baylor, and they brought in Corey – what's Baylor's quarterback? Corey Brewer against us, and we were not prepared for him as a backup. We were not prepared for the mobile quarterback. And the mobile quarterback shredded us. And it's happened to us plenty of times. It happened to us against Texas Tech this year. Mobile quarterbacks always are the X factor in college football. We have one. We're not using him.
Yep. Amen.
And I heard somebody in the know say that Garrett Green will not start next year. If Garrett Green's as good as you say he is, I fully expect him to make a push to be the starting quarterback next year.
I haven't seen high school highlight film like that for a West Virginia quarterback that I was that impressed with. Since Geno. Yes, I said it. Since Geno. I'm including Will Greer. The high school highlights for Garrett Green were that good. I felt I'm not an expert. Of course, I'm not any kind of expert. I'm just saying let's say I am wrong. What does it hurt to put him in? You get blown out.
How many snaps do you think Garrett Green gets against Oklahoma?
How many? I say four.
I think he's going to play. I say he gets 10 snaps against Oklahoma now.
I hope.
Because that defensive line, Oklahoma's defensive line is ferocious. And their defense is playing fast. They call it speed D. This is not the same Oklahoma team that lost to Kansas State at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they're getting healthy.
And in order to beat them, you're going to have to keep up on the scoreboard offensively. We're not going to hold them down. We're just not going to. They're better offensively than Iowa State, even though they're a different style of play than Iowa State. I hope that we're able to confuse Spencer Rattler. The trouble is Lincoln Riley usually has such a great scheme that there's nothing to be confused about. His guys are so wide open. They're running so free. It doesn't matter. So we have to wait and see what happens. I just hope Garrett Green gets 10 snaps.
Do you think we have a chance, Brandon?
No.
Yeah. Yep. I smell what you're stepping in.
Yep. No, the line, I think last I heard was up to Oklahoma minus 12. I can't see us staying within three touchdowns.
There's no way it's 12. There's no way in the world it's 12.
Yeah, I can't see us. You got to remember, we play different at home. We're undefeated at home. We win this on the road.
I don't care. I don't care if it was right in Neil Brown's backyard. I don't care. I don't care. I hope they come to play. I hope they show up. I hope they show out. If the game actually gets played.
I think it will. I think it will.
I don't know. How many years in a row have they beat us?
Eight.
You know, it's just, you know, it's put your chin strapped on tight. Don't take your helmet off so they can see your face. Get somewhere the camera can't look at you. Put your head down on the sideline. And Neil Brown, make sure you have that double mask on so they can't tell which words you're saying. That's my advice.
Yep.
But, I hope, especially for the seniors.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be the last game. But
I mean, TJ Simmons just he put out something on Instagram saying, talking about his college career coming to a close, so he's done.
Can you imagine, Brandon, Darius is probably done.
No, Darius is done. Darius is going to be, at the worst, a third-round pick, at the worst. Darius is done.
So this is, you know, to get out there and just show our love to our seniors and how hard they worked is big. And what a send-off it could be. I don't want to start thinking like that, because when I start thinking like that, then I get my hopes up. And when I get my hopes up, then I'm down for 2 days, but it doesn't happen. I honestly think that it's going to be pretty brutal to watch. But if somehow, some way, we could send our seniors off right, if we could show up and end the season strong, I know it's not the bowl game, but, you know, end the regular season with, you know, some kind of statement about what our program is going to be, man, it'd be nice. It really would.
Yep, I agree totally. I predicted we go 0-2 to end the season. I think my prediction stands strong. I think we lose to Oklahoma 45-17. No, 45-10. No, I'll say 45-17.
Yeah, that sounds about right, but I'm not making a prediction, as I never really do. All I'll say is what I always say. I'll give you a win-loss. And this is an L. It's an L.
All right, there you have it from the Raspy Voice Kids. Check us out on all the platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can get at us any way you want to. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Holla at your boys.
Podcast Network.